WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump visiting Texas today to assess damage from the catastrophic flooding that killed 121 people. More than 160 are still listed as unaccounted for. A federal judge in New Hampshire issuing a ruling prohibiting President Trump's order ending birthright citizenship by certifying a class action suit on behalf of all children who will be affected. ABC's Devin Dwyer.
Predictably, they're saying, here we go again. Another district court judge has gone off his rocker. He is violating the spirit of the Supreme Court's decision. And so all eyes are going to be back on the Supreme Court, probably in a matter of weeks, that this will make its way back up to the justices again, at least in an emergency basis. And they'll be asked to weigh in on what this New Hampshire judge did is a class action.
Brazil's current president says he will impose retaliatory tariffs if President Trump follows through on 50% tariffs over Brazil's criminal trial against Trump ally Jair Bolsonaro. This is ABC News.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents about a helpful tool for fishing enthusiasts across the state. The Wisconsin Fishing Finder is an online resource that can help anglers find good fishing spots with an interactive map of the state's lakes, streams, and rivers. When residents use the map to select a body of water, it will provide them with information on what fish can be found there and what regulations are in effect. It also contains helpful information on preventing the spread of invasive species and the locations of boat launches. A new lawsuit seeking to redraw Wisconsin's congressional district maps prior to the 2026 midterm election was filed earlier this week. The new lawsuit was filed by a coalition of business leaders in Dane County Circuit Court just weeks after the Wisconsin Supreme Court declined to hear another lawsuit challenging the district maps. It argues that the anti-competitive gerrymandered maps violate the state constitution. Because the new lawsuit will not go directly before the state Supreme Court, it may not be resolved before the 2026 election. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is warning residents in the Superior area of construction work on U.S. Highway 53 beginning on Monday. Construction work is scheduled to take place in the area of 2nd Avenue East and Hewitt Avenue. The highway will remain mostly open to traffic during construction, with some single-lane closures at times. Additional work on the Blatnick Bridge reconstruction project will also force some short-term ramp closures on the highway, which will require residents to take a detour route around the ramps. Washburn County highway crews are working on culvert replacements in the area where heavy rain washed out a number of roads near Bashaw Township last week. According to transportation officials, one culvert has already been replaced on County Highway B between Old County Highway B and Sawyer Creek Road. Another culvert replacement in the same area began on Wednesday and should be completed by Monday or Tuesday. Culverts on Cattle Road and Hector Dam Road are also being replaced, and repair work should wrap up by July 24th at the latest. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
It's back to work for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee, where the Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Nationals. At 50 wins and 43 losses, the Brewers in second place in the NL Central, just two games behind the first-place Cubs. The Brewers coming off that three-game sweep of the Dodgers. Now, with Freddy Peralta scheduled to pitch this Sunday, closer Trevor McGill will represent the team in the All-Star game next week.
Sweep the Dodgers at home, that's give the fans what they want, right? That was awesome. Glad to be a part of that, and then also with the news as well. Like, that's just some goal that I put out in the offseason. Here it is coming true.
The Nationals are in last place in the NL East, 16 games behind the Phillies. They fired their manager, Dave Martinez, and GM Mike Rizzo earlier in the week. Miguel Cairo named interim manager. Basketball, NBA Summer League action underway in Nevada. The Bucks with a 90-89 win over the Denver Nuggets last night. Jamari Bouye with a three-pointer at the buzzer. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It is going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Our high in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms. We're going to drop into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, cloudy, scattered thunderstorms in the morning. Some clearing in the afternoon with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, Jim Santel. We discuss the big takeaways from the United States Supreme Court's last term. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, that's me. It's time to say good morning. It's 7:06. It's a Friday morning, July 11th, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson standing by in Studio A2, meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and just a sec as well with the weekend forecast. Our Week in Review panel will be along shortly. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and veteran journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. A lot to cover throughout the course of the next hour. But here's something else that we can cover during the course of this next hour and the one after that. It's Free Ticket Friday. Yes, it's your chance to win a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets to a specific game. In this case, use that keyword, send it to us through the Civic Media app, text us before the end of the show at 9 a.m. You'll be in the running in this statewide contest for four tickets to Sunday afternoon's game against the Washington Nationals. So if you can go to a Brewer game Sunday afternoon, this is the contest for you. Our keyword for the show this morning for a four-pack of Brewers tickets for Sunday's game is ball. B-A-L-L. One winner will get a four-pack of club-level seats. So get that Civic Media app from your Apple Store, your Google Store, wherever. Find one of the stations on the app and use the text button to send the keyword ball to be entered in. And then listen later in the day to Jane and Greg, Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, and Maggie Dawn for more chances to win on this free Ticket Friday. Let's see. From, we've got Brittany here. Yeah, yes, we do. This is from the text line from Jim Brookfield. Always nice to hear Brittany's radio voice providing an accurate statewide forecast. I feel connected to my friends up north. Southeast forecasters usually ignore most of the state and always overemphasize not to change your plans, even when it's pouring. So thank you, Jim, for that. Brittany's going to tell you if it's going to pour, you should change your plans. But yeah, that's only if we're going to get that pour. I had the thing last night with Todd Alba where we did the fair, and we're going to do it again today from 2 to 4.
Cool.
And then the original plan was to take Todd out on the lake, get on the pontoon and go. But, you know, there was the chance of scattered showers everywhere. You know, there'd be a cloud over you. 5 miles over this way, you could see a cloud was raining on somebody. 5 miles over there, the sun is shining, you know? And so we decided to go get some dinner instead. We're sitting outside on a deck, and the sun is out, and it's gorgeous. But, you know, you just know that if you try to get on the boat instead, you know,
your luck
might be the
change.
Yeah, you just you don't know. So it's not that you cancel your plans. You just need alternative plans, varying plans, contingencies. Yes. So what kind of plans are we making today and tonight?
All right. So if you're down south, those plans are probably going to be to stay inside. Unfortunately, we've got that front that is stalled over northern Illinois right now. The low pressure, little disturbance is still moving in towards the Rockford area. So as this happens, it's going to start to lift this front north into us. So southern Wisconsin is going to see those showers and storms starting to increase, especially by this afternoon. They kind of fire up around 2 to 3 o'clock or so. Now, this is far, far southwest. This is going to ride the state line and in towards Janesville, Madison area, Milwaukee, too. Actually, Janesville and Milwaukee, you're in a slight risk for these storms to be severe. And if they are severe, there are chances for a tornado. There were some yesterday down in Illinois with this rotation, and some strong winds are possible, and also hail, too. So that's the risk from Janesville through Milwaukee this afternoon and evening. And also statewide, still heavy, heavy rain. There's a ton of moisture that these storms can tap into. So even as far north as Park Falls or like Eau Claire, you could still get under a storm tonight, and it could still dump a quick 1 to 3 inches of rainfall. This is a heavy, heavy rain. Getting it in an hour, an inch and a half in an hour. That's what they saw down in Madison yesterday. Streets were flooded, sewers overflowing, trees were knocked down. There was also a tree I saw on top of a house, and this was by Wanakee. So a lot going on. And even in towards Rockford, they had about 3 inches rapidly, plus more on top of it. There was waist-deep water in Rockford. The city bus was flooded. There's pictures of 2 to 3 feet water down there. So this can happen. This is not far away from the state line. This can happen this afternoon for us. Hopefully it won't, but be prepared. Northland area, still you can get a storm underneath you, but your chances are a little bit less. Those will be much more wide scattered. Now, as we go through tomorrow, we still got a cold front moving through. It doesn't look to do too much now. It just wants to spark a few scattered, widely scattered showers and storms. Again, they still could pack a lot of heavy rainfall. This will be tomorrow afternoon. Then the front has cleared us for Sunday and Monday. We'll stay dry. We'll stay sunny. It'll actually be comfortable on Sunday. It starts to get more humid as we go into Monday.
My goodness. So much to track here.
But there is.
People definitely appreciate it. There's a lot in the mailbag here today for Rob from Tigerton. Good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 62, half an inch, or no, 5/100ths of an inch of rain last night. Yesterday, I mowed 4 yards in the Tigerton area. Today, I need to get 2 more mowed. Now we've just got a hodgepodge in the mailbag here, going back to last hour. I use a CPAP machine. I have since 2019. I can tell a big difference when I use it compared to falling asleep on my recliner. This is National French Fry Day, so he makes note that he will have French fries with his fish fry tonight. Mm-hmm. He says the corn is really growing now, so we're going to have some corn sweat with the humid weather. It's been a mad dash for farmers to get the second crop of hay in. I can testify. They got that second crop off in a hurry here earlier this week. But I got to tell you this. The folks all around Courier Newsroom, all around the country, we occasionally get on a video call, you know, a Zoom or whatever you use. And there's people from all over the country. And somebody from Iowa Starting Line mentioned corn sweat.
Yep.
And the folks from the East and the Southwest thought for sure they were being punked. They're like, what is corn sweat? And as the Midwesterners, you know, explained it, you could tell they were not buying this at first. They were like, this is not a real thing. Yes, corn sweat is a real thing.
Absolutely, you know? It is. It totally is.
It's, you know, that much, it gets real humid there. Roger in Stevens Point says, heavy rain soaked parts of western Portage County in the Golden Sands area west of Plover and the town of Linwood west of Point last night. Tony goes on to say, Brittany gets the Northwoods is the most important weather forecast to give rather than, you know, the southeastern part of the state.
No, I love all of you. It's just important in the woods.
Right.
You've got a lot of trees to knock down there.
Yeah, exactly. And let's see, one more from Rob. Watch out for flooding. And also, I have scenic roads that were washed out from the culverts getting washed out. Yes, that is also a thing that could happen. And we mentioned that the sun is setting just a little bit earlier now. It's coming up just a little bit later now. And, you know, it'll be fall before you know. Alicia's like, oh, yeah, there's already some people declaring Halloween. You know, the Halloween stores are going to go up. Leave it to Tony to go, yeah, I miss the darkness. Well, Tony lives up near the tundra, so 6 months of, you know, night is more in his wheelhouse than it is to us. So all
it's
kinds
funny that
of
you're saying
there.
That. I'm wearing an Alaska shirt right now, you know, where they get the full darkness, you know, in winter. But
or, you know, you don't get all to sleep because the sun is always
I was going to say, you get that far north, it's just always sunny.
Yes.
And now is Parker, his Mallards game got rained out yesterday. He's got a doubleheader today. Are they going to get the doubleheader in today?
I don't think so.
Oh,
good luck. I hope so. What time is it?
I think we start at 4.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know. Maybe you'll get one in.
You're so like, no shot, Parker. Yeah. Sorry.
There may be more makeup games to come. All right. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. As always, a reminder, sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our weekday newsletter. We've got a Sunday morning newsletter as well. Today's newsletter talks about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, where Todd Alba and I will be today from 2 until 4. Come over and say hi if you're anywhere near Chippewa Falls. And also some stories there about scenic destinations in Wisconsin and public factory tours that are available as well. So much to check out in our newsletter. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Our Week in Review panel will be coming up next. We've got some court cases to talk about, birthright citizenship, of course. But there's also a new challenge to the congressional maps in Wisconsin. You'll recall it was not long ago at all. Was it last week, week before, that the state Supreme Court said it was not going to take up original jurisdiction over a challenge to the current congressional district boundaries. But now another lawsuit has been filed, and so we'll ask former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the differences between them. We'll have that coming up for you in just a short time. And one other story that caught my eye, and not in a great way, the headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Frank Vaisvilas. Sorry, Frank, if I mispronounced that. Trump dumps a panel targeting offensive names. So Wisconsin's half-breed Rapids will likely stay. That is because the Trump administration dismantled a committee tasked with removing racist names from landmarks. It was established by Interior Secretary Deb Haaland in 2021. Haaland was the nation's first Native American person to serve as Interior Secretary. The Trump administration dismantled the committee, in part saying that, you know, moves like this to remove racist names are racist themselves, because that's the kind of down-is-up world that we live in nowadays. So a lot of places have had their names changed. There were 28 different place names that changed in 2022, all had the derogatory name for women as part of their title. A lot of them were, you know, rivers, lakes, creeks throughout the part of the state. But the work hadn't been done yet. And so other racist names like Half-Breed Rapids would have been the next logical step, according to Chris Goodwill, who is Menominee and former tribal liaison for the Wisconsin DNR. But the committee never got the chance before it was dismantled by the current Interior Secretary, Doug Burgum, the former governor of North Dakota, who had been considered a friend by tribal leaders, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article. Now, Half-Breed Rapids is on the Tomahawk River, about 20 miles west of Rhinelander, near the Lac des Flambeaux Reservation, and within Ojibwa-ceded territory, which is land the U.S. took from the Ojibwa, where tribal members reserve the right to continue fishing and hunting. Now, the reason this really stuck with me is because of a hockey game. You'll recall I was following the Western Michigan hockey team on their way to a national title because my son-in-law works for the team. And that included a game against North Dakota. Now, the University of North Dakota has been the Fighting Hawks for quite a few years now. Prior to that, for several decades, they were the North Dakota Sioux. And there are folks who will tell you, well, that's part of our culture. No, no, that's just your stubborn pride, unwilling to let go of, you know, names that you've appropriated from elsewhere. It's not like Sioux was North Dakota's original team name. They were the Flicker Tails originally, named for the ground squirrels around North Dakota. But then they changed to the Sioux because, you know, racism was cool back then, you know, like cigarette smoking or chasing your secretary around the desk or, you know, redlining the maps so that black families couldn't buy a house. Good times, right? So if you wanted to name your team, you know, for the Red Men or Indian Head or Sioux or whatever, you got to do that for the longest time until finally enough folks said, maybe not a great idea. And the names were starting to get changed back or given something less racist. And then Donald Trump happened. Still a work in progress in this country. Our Week in Review panel is coming up. A local update next for some of you. And we'll continue on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hear every Brewer game all season long right here on WBZH.
Swinging a bouncer into third, double play ball. Ortiz for Terang for one, the first, a double play.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
Swinging a fly ball, right center field. It is up, it is gone! Off the top of the wall and out of here!
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Buzz of the North, WBZH. I'm Joel Carney, and here's some information on what's going on in the Hayward area today. All right, we're back talking weather here on the Buzz of the North. We are so excited to have Brittany Merlot, our civic media meteorologist, with us to talk weather here, how it affects the Hayward area. So let's talk a little climate change. This is a hot topic politically for many, many years, still is. Are we, I'll lead you into an obvious question. Are we getting hotter? Are we getting warmer as a country, as a world, Brittany?
Yes, we absolutely are. I don't want to debate why and all of those things and the political aspect of it, but I will say, as I'm monitoring every single day, it's my job to see what's happening with the weather, and I can tell you it is warming. And Wisconsin is one of the fastest warming states.
We saw temperatures in the upper 80s and 90s just in the last couple of summers, I think, that I don't remember seeing that much of. So that we don't get the big headlines. Arizona in the desert, when it's 120, they get the headlines, right, on that. So they kind of ignore us on that warming stuff up here.
We don't hit triple digits, so who cares, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So what's that going to do to us? How does that, people are like, well, it's 3 degrees warmer in February. Well, that feels good to me. But what's it doing to us long term?
Well, there's so many things that it's going on long term. Well, first of all, you're not okay. Yes, we're breaking records, right? It feels like year after year, it's the warmest summer, it's the warmest year. Or this day broke a record, and you know, we keep hitting the 90s more and more, like you mentioned. And these heat waves are lasting longer, too. Then, on top of that, not only the heat of the summer, but our spring and fall is warmer as well, so it's extended out longer, right? So, we have less of a winter. we've been seeing the effects of that for quite a few years, especially with the Berkey. Even the Fat Bike Berkey has been canceled and moved, and different things have happened and stuff like that. So we're already seeing the reduced rate of winter and the fact that we're getting a little bit less snow. Winter in Wisconsin, actually in Hayward specifically, it's warmed more than the rest of the state by about 4 to 5 degrees since 1950. And the models right now are projecting another 5 to 10 degrees by mid-century. So a lot of places are already trying to plan, what if we don't have snow in winter? Because taking a few degrees off at night is now keeping maybe that snow to a wintry mix. Or maybe that's keeping the wintry mix to rain. So we're going to see more and more rain and wintry mixed events versus actual snow and crazy accumulations. Now, we're still far north. We're still going to get a winter, but it's shorter.
Yeah.
And so, because winter is shorter, now we're seeing longer allergy seasons, right? Because the growing season is longer. Everything is longer in the warmer weather season, plus warmer. It's just a snow pile of effect.
So what does that mean to folks in the Hayward area here? So someone listening right now is thinking, you know, so it's 90 instead of 85 every summer. Oh, how does that affect me in Hayward? Why do I care about that?
Sure, absolutely. Well, how about more wildfires? Hayward area is at a 3 out of 6 at the biggest risk scale right there for fire weather. That's terrifying. I mean, obviously. And then you're going to get more heat. You're going to get more humidity here. The jet stream is shifting. So just a slight shift like that is giving us more tornadoes. The season is longer. We're breaking records with that left and right. And it's not even El Nino or La Nina. We're in an end zone neutral phase right now, and we're still breaking these records, and we're still extremely warm and stuff like that. And when you get all of these and all the warmth, you get heavier rain. You have more moisture in the air. You have more to work with, more fuel out there for these storms to be stronger, more intense, pack more rain, pack bigger hail, stronger tornado. Maybe it's going to be on the ground for 10 minutes versus 3 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we're with Brittany Merlot, civic meteorologist. We're talking weather all this week here in the Buzz of the North. What about the wildlife? I saw a robin in my yard the last week of February this year, and I saw that, and I was just like, whoa, wait a minute. This is pretty early. It affects our wildlife, I would guess, too, right? The weather change, the temperature, climate change?
Oh, my gosh, so much. I mean, it moves the food chain in a sense. For the birds, they're not finding the food. They're not being able to reproduce in the areas that they used to. So they're going to different places. I was looking up, there's about like 45 species that are highly vulnerable in just our Northwoods with climate change and just a 2-degree temperature change, because it's moving their food. It's moving where they're used to and what they're like living through. So we're seeing it with the birds. We're seeing it with wild rice. Looks like wild rice may not be a thing in northern Wisconsin. It's going to be up Minnesota now, because just a few degree temperature change, it's shifting it north. We're seeing more, you know, ticks from the south make their way to Wisconsin. Everything is just shifting north.
Yeah. We're talking with Brittany Merlot, our civic meteorologist, about various weather topics here on the Buzz of the North. And the climate change, you're talking about the severe warmth. It was always about it's getting too hot, but now they kind of change it to climate change. Are there concerns that it's too cold in some areas? Is there some areas of the world where it's flipping and they're colder, or is it all about the warmth?
As far as I know, it's more about the warmth.
Okay.
In effect, you know what I mean? Like the whole globe is kind of going through a phase, and it's happened maybe potentially before, but humans haven't really lived here for it.
Exactly. Well, Brittany, we're going to talk with you tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit more about that wildlife side, because obviously people up here in the Northwoods, they love to hunt. They love to fish. It's part of the economy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll talk about that tomorrow here on the Buzz of the North. And we're talking with Brittany Merlot, our civic media meteorologist. You hear her doing the weather throughout the week. And we're going to talk more Hayward area weather tomorrow morning right here on the Buzz of the North.
You've been listening to the WBZH Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date on everything going on in the Hayward area, head over to our website at WBZH.fm. and subscribe to our newsletter. Coming up after local news and information, my colleague Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Joel Carney. This is the Buzz of the North. It's 729.
What are you doing out there?
Come on!
I saw you at the game the other night. Yeah, you.
up there getting mad, acting like we're all out there making a million a game. But let me be real with you. This isn't the pros. It's school sports, and it's a game, our game. So please, let us play.
School sports fans, remember, when you cheer for your team, make noise for the right reasons. This message presented by the NFHS and the NIAAA.
And all student athletes in Wisconsin.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Did you know that 85% of rural fire departments in Wisconsin operate entirely with volunteers? That's a problem. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. A problem revealed in a recent statewide survey done by the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. James Small is the Emergency Medical Services Outreach Program Manager that took a look at the numbers. And he said, it's not just the lack of people in rural communities, it's flat out expense.
It used to be you could buy a new fire engine for $400,000 maybe, up to 500, let's say like 10 years ago. That same vehicle today is pushing $1 million or more. And then on top of that, getting the people in place to staff those apparatus is yet another challenge. Because I think what we've seen with our communities is that a lot of people work outside the communities that they live in, where a few decades ago, there was manufacturers and things like that all over the place that were in the communities and allowed people to leave and go to fires and stuff like that. But when that person's working half an hour or an hour outside the community, that's not realistic anymore.
James Small is the EMS Outreach Program Manager with the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. The survey they conducted earlier this year was statewide and got contributions from 418 fire chiefs. That represented about 52% of departments statewide. One issue they noted, over 80% of firefighters receive little or no monetary compensation.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most, your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And since July is National Ice Cream Month, a brand new tool to connect you with ice cream right here in the state, courtesy of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. They've got about 20 unique ice cream experiences that you can follow on the brand new Ice Cream Trail. Find it at gatherwisconsin.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Our high in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms. We're going to drop into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, cloudy, scattered thunderstorms in the morning. Some clearing in the afternoon with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, doing some recombobulating, an extended session with Dan Schaefer, who joins us at 9:30. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
The Milwaukee Brewers were off yesterday. They start a three-game series at home against the Washington Nationals this evening. Coverage begins at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations today, tomorrow afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and then it's time for the All-Star break. But before that time, there is this series, and if you would like to win four great tickets to the Sunday afternoon Brewer game against the Washington Nationals, well, then text the keyword BALL, B-A-L-L, using the Civic Media app. You will be in the running for those tickets. There will be a rally at the state capitol today, put on by Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed, Wisconsin Public Education Network, Main Street Alliance, and others. Basically all about the state and federal budgets that were passed last week and how both of them continue harm to many Wisconsinites by benefiting the wealthy in the form of tax cuts and not doing nearly enough for things like the child care crisis and K through 12 education. There will be a news conference there at 9:30 with several speakers, including Corrine Hendrickson, who's talked to the show plenty of times on child care, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and many more. So again, that's at the state capitol over on the State Street steps. And then there will be some letters delivered to elected leaders as well. So we may talk more about the federal budget that was passed and the coverage of it with our panel, Jennifer Scholze, Mark Jacob, and Jim Santel. But I do want to take a moment to talk about coverage of the Texas floods. Jennifer, let's start with you. It's the subject of your latest column in Distinct Chatter that you can get on Substack, and what you had to say about the coverage of the tragedy in Texas so far.
Well, I'm very impressed with the coverage. I think that local Texas media in particular, TV and print, digital, have all done an excellent job, not just telling the story about the tragedy, and it is a tragedy. I mean, it's just a nightmare. I can't even imagine. But they are also very aggressively holding officials to account. There have been numerous news conferences that have been held on live TV where reporters have really pressed these officials to say, why didn't you do X, Y, and Z? And that's really impressive stuff. And I would like to hope that that influences some of the coverage we see today in Texas when the pool travels with Trump from DC, and then we'll have the opportunity to ask a lot of those questions, because these local TV reporters have really been pushing for answers in a way that we do not see in our national media frequently, the ones covering Trump.
Well, that takes us to the national media, Mark, and Chuck Todd, who is doing Chuck Todd things, who posted and was completely roasted, I would dare say annihilated on social media for this post. The tragedy in Texas could have been avoided if both sides stopped playing politics and better prepared our communities for extreme weather disasters. I examine how the political discourse has become a virus. If we sounded an alarm for both sides-ism, we'd go deaf blaring this one, Mark.
Yeah, well, yeah, and when you actually look at the facts, you know, it's these extreme weather disasters, which we're seeing more and more of, you know, are happening because we're not taking climate change seriously. Well, what side is taking climate change seriously and what side is not? I mean, this is not like just partisan bickering. This is one side deciding to eliminate all these programs, you know, for clean energy and double down on fossil fuels because, you know, that those are the donors that make the money, and the other side trying to actually deal with a climate crisis. But no, it's both sides are doing this and that. Plus, also, I mean, it's clear now that local Republican officials, I mean, it's not because they were Republicans, because they're local officials who decided not to spend money on an early warning system because it costs too much. So, you know, that's what they decided. They made a calculated decision. This was not just a matter of, well, we didn't know better. They discussed it. They decided not to spend the money to protect people because it cost too much money. And so, you know, zero in on that. Don't do this kind of vague kind of, oh, partisan bickering. You know, that doesn't get us anywhere. And then it's Chuck Todd acting as if he's above it all instead of actually zeroing in on whose fault it is.
It's marketing. It's his marketing shtick now, is to try to, you know, rise above it all. But that means there's times when, again, both sides aren't 50-50. And if you're afraid to call it so, I mean, what good is your marketing position? We have spoken already this morning about birthright citizenship. But Jim, as a former U.S. attorney, I'd like to, your explanation will probably sound better than mine as far as why the case is now a class action case, because I think to the layperson, they heard that the U.S. Supreme Court made a ruling, and in their mind, especially the way some media, I think, portrayed it, was that President Trump can go ahead and try to ignore the Constitution in terms of birthright citizenship. That's not actually what the Supreme Court said, and a federal district judge this week took it to that next level, making it a class action suit. Why?
I think it's fascinating as a legal matter, fascinating simply as an American news item, too. We recall that when the Supreme Court decided not to decide on birthright citizenship, it is still unresolved, this very clear issue. They said that national injunctions can no longer happen. One judge cannot impose her or his will on the entire nation. Okay, we can argue about that. And there may be times when it's appropriate, maybe at times when it's not appropriate. What they did also say, in addition to staying this order until July 27, tick-tock right now here in America, they also said, but you've got other remedies here. You can do a class action, so basically identifying large groups of people who have commonality in their facts, commonality in the law, and bring them together. And by certifying that class, you may be able to do the same thing. Well, within moments of the Supreme Court's issuing that decision, sure enough, class actions get filed. The lawsuits anyway, and this particular judge in New Hampshire says, okay, that's fine, I can do that, and it's arguably brilliant. What he says is, I am now going to certify a class of virtually everybody who was affected by the president's executive order way back on January 20th, and that includes in particular the babies of people, of women and men, obviously, born since the time of the executive order. He certifies the class and says, all of you who otherwise would be citizens today, I am certifying your class. And as to that class, I am now imposing a national injunction. And so it is fascinating. The judge says, you told me I can do this. I've done it. I preserved America once again. It's going up to the First Circuit Court of Appeals, may end up before the Supreme Court again. But it just underscores once again, why doesn't the Supreme Court simply say what we all know, which is the 14th Amendment grants you a right for citizenship if you're born here. That's been the law for 100 years. Say that, Chief Justice Roberts.
How is this still a thing? Exactly. Right, right, and right. Jennifer, you just heard the explanation of a former U.S. attorney. And as you know, in this era of sound bites, I mean, this is a serious challenge to reporters, whatever the level of experience, to convey all of these nuances of the legal system. And I'm not saying that you or I have the correct answer to it, but for the love of all things holy, maybe run your copy by somebody with some legal experience before you pop off on this subject.
Oh, Pat, I don't know. I think you might be asking too much there. I do think a lot of these stories are very complicated, but they also can be boiled down very simply. And what somewhere in the press gets stuck somewhere in the middle, right? They try to tell the story without going too far so they don't offend their corporate owners and get on the wrong side of Trump. But then, you know, so they never land in a place where they just say what actually happened. And I find that particularly frustrating.
Do you use the phrase, maybe you do it a different way, but I've often heard the phrase said to reporters, tell it to your mom. In other words, instead of writing all the legalese and the jargon, you know, if you got on the phone with your mom, what would you say? You wouldn't say, no offense, Jim, you wouldn't say everything that you said for 90 seconds there. You'd say the Supreme Court did this. And it just, I don't know if you have a similar way that you express that to beginning journalists.
I think that that is an excellent lesson. And that is, in fact, how people are taught about journalism. Tell me what you're trying to tell me. Tell it to me in one sentence. You know, what is the story here? Get to the nut of the story. Okay, that's where we're going with this story. And in fact, I think we try too hard not to do that because of all these other sensitivities that are now in the atmosphere.
Yeah. And Mark, you were a front page editor for the Chicago Tribune. I mean, you know how you have to work so hard to make it concise, not just the headline, but the lead.
Yeah, well, I feel like a lot of journalists are writing for other journalists, or they're writing for their sources, and that becomes a real problem. You know, that they're writing defensively, and politicians want them to write defensively. That's why you get so much criticism of the news media by politicians who are being covered. You know, they'll have their press person call after every story and explain to them why it's wrong. You know, there's this pressure campaign. And not just by Republicans. When I was a Metro editor at the Tribune in Chicago, you know, Rahm Emanuel was all over us all the time. You know, and if in effect what he was doing was working the refs, he was trying to get us to, he was trying to intimidate us so that we would, say other things.
You
say
think twice.
Softer things next time. And so, yes, I mean, exactly. Talk to your mom. You're not talking to Rahm Emanuel. You're not talking to some other journalist who's a competitor. You're not trying to impress anyone. You're just trying to tell your mom what happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've mentioned that Jennifer's latest newsletter for Indistinct Chatter is on the Texas floods. Your latest, Stop the Presses, the headline is, Jake Tapper Believes in Jake Tapperism, which is probably one of the most honest headlines I've seen in the longest time of trying to explain the way that he has covered certain things like a dog with a bone that they just will not let go of. And that's as Jake Tapper as it gets.
Well, my contention is that he's really a journalistic windsock. You know, it's not that he's, a right winger or a left winger or anything like that. I mean, he was actually quite hard on Trump in the early days. But but now that Trump is an established, you know, he's here for the second time as president, you know, I think Tapper's decided to kind of play to that audience. And, you know, and he's decided idiotically to make a big deal about a former president who's no longer really a factor in American politics, rather than looking at, you know, trying to report on the five-alarm fire that's happening next door. And he's just a careerist. He's just trying to position himself for maximum benefit to Jake Tapper.
Well, the fact that he's got a history that stretches back to, you know, the Monica Lewinsky scandal. I mean, he's got a record. He's got a style, which... Right. Again, works in certain circles, but I also feel like somebody like you needs to, you know, point out the way that operates. So that's in Stop the Presses. Get it at stopthepresses.news or couriernewsroom.com. And then last but not least, Jim's got this program on the weekends, Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings. I'm sure you're going to get into a couple of the cases we've already talked about. Any that we missed that you want to promote quickly for tomorrow's show?
One of the things we're also going to talk about is Pam Bondi. Yes, indeed, she's our attorney general, saying some very interesting things about how assistant United States attorneys and department lawyers should act, what the principles, the standards are, changing America by virtue of what you're telling your lawyer staff to do. We serve, the Department of Justice serves America, does not serve Pam Bondi, does not serve the president. That has changed in the past 5 months. More of that, again, coming up on Saturday.
I can't believe we're not all taking loyalty oaths already. I mean, God knows right. That's the expectation. A local update is next for some of you. Others will stick around here with the panel. And then in our next hour, we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley, who's out in Washington, D.C. And we will get sports from Mike Clemens as well. What has happened with the Brewers? Where did this team come from? We're loving this. We'll ask Mike about that next after the 8 o'clock news here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Fly ball, right field, it is deep, it is gone!
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
Fly ball, deep right! Two back!
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You've got Mornings with Pat Kreidel right here on the Buzz of the North, WBZH. Joel here, Greg Gunderson back in with us. We were talking rodeo a couple of days ago. We're going to continue to talk that today as a Spooner Rodeo underway, kind of an all-week thing, but really underway with shows today and through the weekend. Here's Spooner's 71st annual Spooner Rodeo. And Gray, earlier in the week, and people can go to WBZH website to hear our segment on Wednesday, we talked kind of about, you know, the hardcore bull riding and the fact that guys and gals just a little bit nuts for going out there and doing that and trying to ride the 8 seconds. But there's many other aspects of a rodeo that people can relate to, and they do practice. There's teenage boys, girls that are out and, you know, swooshing. Swooshing the ropes and doing the barrel racing, practicing. That is stuff that people can do kind of in their own backyard and their pastures.
Yeah, the one question for any sport is, what does it take to play? Well, rodeo is kind of unique in that way, but that's part of how it came. I don't think you can separate any portion of it and still be left with the rodeo after all. I mean, that's the fact that it's so many people who raise these animals that are out there riding them in the first place. That love goes into the art form that is the sport. I think it's every one of the 4-H's is just as involved in the process.
And even just the basic of riding a horse, and people who have horses and do it a lot don't think of this, but it's very intimidating. If you didn't grow up around horses and you're not used to riding horseback, it's not too often that you're up that high off the ground, and you've heard the stories, you know, of people getting bucked off of horses and stuff like that. That comfort level is something that people have who
have been around horses a long time, but those who aren't understandably look at the horse and they're like, I ain't getting on that thing. Are you crazy?
I found myself kind of drawn to him. It was sort of funny. I'd ridden a horse once before, but it was at like a tourist setting. We were out in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and it was a very experienced tourist horse. Basically, it was very easy to guide, and it basically, if I let go of the reins, it would follow the horse in front of it because it was just so used to this trail. But like the first time I encountered a more, I don't know, organic experience, I was just hanging out. My aunt raises horses and rides often, and she brought one up to the her childhood home, basically near where we still live, and we were just hanging out with her talking about them, and the horse was just kind of standing there in between us all grazing in the grass, and she saw me looking and she caught me. She's like, you want to ride them, don't you? I was like, dang it, yes I do. That looks like it would be a really cool thing. And I've always heard about the bond, you know, between horses and their riders, and I've always thought it was really cool that a horse might not jump if it can sense that you're nervous. So I thought, man, it's one of those things where I thought, I think I got this. And because of that, there was this easy calm, and it's an awesome experience. An animal that big that just, you can tell, is comfortable with you. It's so cool.
It's a very special relationship that humans have had with horses going way, way, way back, obviously. You're right. But there's one part of the rodeo that I wanted to talk about in today's segment with the Spooner Rodeo this weekend.
I bet I know what it is.
It's the clowns.
I was wrong. I was going to say I was proud of us last time for not mentioning mutton busting somehow. I like us for talking mutton busting. I was kind of surprised. But
right.
Anyway, the clowns,
even crazier than getting on this 2,000-3,000-pound animal with spiked devil horns coming out of its head is the clown that says, hey, I'm over here. Come get me. I've got all the colors you love. The clown part of it, that's a whole nother personality.
See, I think of clowns like I think of firefighters. Do they want to be doing the thing? No, nobody wants to be standing there with a hose next to 1,000 degrees of fire, but they know that there's somebody that needs their help and that they're the only ones capable. You know, like these kids are going to ride the darn bulls anyway. You better get out there and distract the things, because it's either that or nobody distracts them.
They have become really a staple, though, in the rodeos, and it's a great talent that these clowns have. They're not only gutsy, athletic men, women, they're entertaining too. They really are a Hollywood package in a pasture full of Kalmaner. I mean, it really is. I mean, and that's what it is, right?
It's the kind of art that used to only exist in the 1930s and come with a lot of downsides. Like this is a pure country art form, rodeo clown. I like that. I like viewing it that way.
Yeah, hats off. Literally, cowboy hats off. Now, what the heck is mutton busting before we wrap?
You don't know?
I've heard of it, but I'm not 100% sure I can define it.
So, I mean, if you're, say you're a youngin' out there and you love watching your dad ride the bull, ride the buck and bronc, and you decide that that's what you're going to do one day, but you don't want to wait, Joel. So what do? You give him some training wheels. You have him ride a sheep.
All right.
Mutton busting.
There we go.
If you've never seen mutton busting, you wouldn't believe how hard a sheep would be to ride. Seriously.
I know that sheep are not happy about people being anywhere on their back.
That I do know.
Yeah.
Horses being a large exception, though, with conditioning. Like, no. Sheep are no more eager to be ridden than any other creature. But, like, you put it, well, and I don't know what the rhyme or reason is behind it, because I just took in the spectacle. But, I mean, there were kids riding sheep backwards. I don't know if that was a special division or just a kind of a power move. You know, if I'm an effective sheep rider, I know if I want to gloat, I'm going to spin around real quick. And
it's like riding a bike with no hands, right?
Exactly. Forget the training wheels. We're not even looking at the head of the beast that is carrying me. I mean, that's a level of swagger that I haven't achieved.
Yeah.
I don't golf well enough to strut like those mutton busters do.
A sheep or a goat, too. I mean, their foreheads are plenty hard. They don't need the horns.
I feel like I'd be more scared of a goat because of the possibility of jumping. You know, the sheep, I will say, they really took off in a straight line. There wasn't much bucking. It was more trying to run out from under this thing that's on my back. I like a goat for jumping more, though. I bet that would be a bit more of a spectacle.
Spooner Rodeo going on this weekend. A lot of people will be making their way over there with shows. You can Google all the who, what's, and where's. But here on the Pat Kreitler Morning Show on the local side here, we talk about other things than just the X's and O's.
For better or worse.
Yeah, we like to go a little mutton deeper.
Ignorance is no barrier.
Yeah, we like to clown around. So hats off to all. Did you get that? Well, hats off to all those involved with the Spooner.
I'm not going
to
be here next week.
Rodeo going on this weekend in Spooner. Check it out if you haven't been there. The parade is huge, and it is a great family fun event. So this is the local segment here on Pat Kreitlow and the Morning Show. We got more with our colleague Pat Kreitlow coming up after the top of the hour news. It is 7:59.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In Central Texas, crews digging through piles of debris to try to locate the more than 160 people still missing after catastrophic flooding exactly a week ago. ABC's Trevor Ault has more from Kerrville, the city President Trump and the First Lady will be visiting this morning.
President Trump and the First Lady will be meeting with emergency responders and grieving families, and he will also likely face questions about the response to this tragedy. He so far only had praise for the government's response. He's referred to this flooding as a once in every 200 years event.
State Department firing more than 1,300 career diplomats and civil servants as a part of a reorganization plan announced earlier this year. Critics say it'll damage America's global leadership. State Department says it will streamline operations. 800 flight cancellations, 9,000 flight delays, all of it because of the weather in the Midwest. Most of those disruptions happening at O'Hare Airport. It's already said today's rain and lightning could also disrupt things. This is